Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Trying to keep it upbeat this morning, but it's not easy, hey? It is really not easy. Chris Yerland is an energy analyst. He's managing director of EE Intelligence. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. No, I'm good. Thank you. Fortunately, no load shedding for me right at this moment, but it's coming.
You are blessed. Absolutely. So I know in our area between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. this evening, we have 3.5 hours of electricity supply. So that is very, very depressing for people in this area today.
And can you imagine the impact on business and the economy?
Well, it's interesting you say that. My wife runs a home bakery. This week is her busiest week of the year because Sunday night is the Jewish holiday, or it's the Jewish New Year. It's her biggest week of the year, and she's got 3.5 hours, and an oven takes about 20 minutes to warm up. So that means you've got literally 3 hours of baking in a whole day between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. How does any business survive that? It's impossible.
Yeah,
absolutely exactly. Impossible. So what is the situation in terms of stage six? Is it here to stay? Where are we? Is this political? What is the situation in your view?
Well, let's just look at the outlook for the next week. And it's not me saying this, it's Eskom saying this. They said yesterday at the media briefing that, and remember, it was a media briefing on a Sunday, which shows you, the critical situation we're in, that they needed to communicate. They said that the high levels of load shedding can be expected this week. Even stage six load shedding would continue a while, and it could even be higher than stage six. That's what they said.
Right.
That is the outlook for the week ahead. If we need to look at the year ahead till the end of this year, well, up to date, we've had more load shedding hours in this calendar year, 2022, than in the whole of last year. So by the end of this year, we can expect that things will be significantly worse than last year. Now, this year is going to be a record year for load shedding. Last year was a record, and the previous year was a record. So the situation is actually getting worse year by year. And that's likely to be the case until the end of this year, that it's going to be worse than last year. Going forward beyond the end of this year, I think it will depend on how quickly and effectively the president's emergency crisis plan gets put in place. But certainly I don't think we can hope to see significant impact earlier next year, maybe towards the end of the year, if the right things are done, if action is taken instead of words. And I think there is still too much talking, but if these things, if we do the right thing, we can perhaps start seeing the impacts starting towards the end of next year.
It's been like this for 15 years.
Yeah.
It's solvable. This is not a problem without a solution.
Exactly.
Why haven't we solved it?
Yeah, I think we've been complacent as a country. Political leadership has been complacent. Business has even been complacent and is responding reactively instead of proactively. I suppose that's a natural human condition in a way. But I think with leadership that is forward-looking instead of backward-looking, that is what is needed. That is actually what leadership, that is the test of leadership. Leadership is supposed to be forward-looking to understand the threats that are going to come to pass. And leadership is in a unique position to be able to see these, to understand what is coming because they have access to resources and information. So I think there has been a failure of leadership, of forward-looking leadership. And I think even, as I say, business has been very reactive. They only start doing things, when there is a crisis. So right now, business and people are sort of rushing to install backup and alternative energy systems, battery energy storage, solar PV systems. But it all comes, after the event. Forward-looking people have actually already taken action. Today, you can't even buy an emergency battery-powered light at Builder's Warehouse.
Wow.
Because there's such a a rush. Everybody wants to, seeing load shedding, they're saying it's sort of here to stay. So they're rushing out to buy things like emergency light, and now they're out of stock. I, as a reactive person, found that out over the weekend.
So do you think this is political, or is this sabotage?
Eskom yesterday at media briefing said that this current round of stage 6 load shedding, there was no evidence of sabotage. Okay, we have had evidence of sabotage in the past. There were evidence of cut cables and pylon stays that were cut. But I don't think that the current... I think it's more a question of skills, competence, perhaps to an extent demoralization. People, not putting in the extra efforts, although there are people at Eskom who I think are working extensively to try and resolve the issues. But there is a loss of morale at Eskom, a serious loss of morale. And I guess it must be impacting on people's performance as well.
But the coincidence of this happening at different power stations all across the country at the same time while the president is out the country, I mean, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but it just seems a little coincidental.
Well, the point is one needs evidence. And yes, evidence is not easy to come by. It is easy to claim load shedding, to claim sabotage. It's very easy. It's easy to use it as a way of deflecting criticism and attention. I think one's got to be very careful. As a minister once learned in South Africa, when he suggested that the bolt in the stator at Coburg that caused the outage was as a result of sabotage, and it turned out to be more a case of problems with the installation contractor or the contractor involved, who happened to be Rotec, a subsidiary company of Eskom.
Right. In terms of this 1,000 megawatts that Eskom is now, in the words of Business Day, scrambling to buy from private producers, obviously a good news story in the sense that at least there's that recognition. If 1,000 megawatts comes online in the next week or two, that does make a big difference. Is this a turning point?
You know, my criticism of this is not that we shouldn't be doing it. It's why it's only being looked at now. Why is Eskom only now?
I've been asking this
question
all morning. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? The same thing as Coca-Cola solving the water issue in Quebec now at day zero. Why aren't we doing this earlier?
You know, this so-called demand market participation, that is where customers' generation comes to the fore. There are many customers, thousands of customers, who have got standby generators on their factories, on their plants, etc., both big, medium, and small. Why is this only being looked at now? Demand market participation is a well-established technique around the world, and it does come at a cost. I must tell you that, and it doesn't come at a low cost, because the cost of customers running diesel generators, for example, is quite expensive. But the cost of not doing it is far more expensive. And these are assets that already exist. They are out there. People have got these generators. They just need to be incentivized to use them when it needs them. So the point is, it comes at a cost. And I am told the regulator has actually inhibited Eskom in the recent past from getting involved in this, presumably because of the cost. But the cost of not doing it is even more.
Does he have the support of government?
I think he has the support of the president. The president recently, in an announcement when he announced the emergency plan, expressed confidence in the current executive management at Eskom. I think he has the confidence of the Minister of Public Enterprise. I don't think he has the confidence of Minister Gwede Mantashe, who has a completely different view of the world than Eskom's management do. So I think it's a mixed situation, but certainly I think he does have the support of the president and the Minister of Public Enterprise.
Where does Nursa fit into all of this? We spoke to Limbrough Park and we've been following their story where they've been trying to erect their own power supply. And it seems to be that that has just died because there's so much red tape and there's so many legal hurdles to get through because of Nursa that they could, that they've actually almost, they've given it up. And they're basically saying that every development will just simply take care of its own. That is a terrible indictment.
Now look, electricity is a very highly regulated space, over-regulated in my view. I'm not saying there should be no regulation, but I'm saying there should be no unnecessary regulation. And I think in the past, NERSA has just sort of played along with the status quo. Remember, too, that NERSA is not there to set policy. It does not see its role as setting policy. It's there, as it says, to implement a government policy and work within the regulatory framework that exists and that is set by government. So one cannot always blame NERSA for working within the framework that is presented to it. I do think that NERSA has sometimes played a very destructive role in the past, and the current toxic relationship between Eskom and the NERSA is extremely unhelpful for South Africa. But that is a joint problem between NERSA and Eskom, but certainly NERSA are part of the problem. In recent weeks and months, I think we've seen a lot of pressure now from government onto the DMRE and NERSA to remove unnecessary red tape and regulation, and there is a response to that coming from NERSA, and things are speeding up. There is a lessening of red tape, but it's not driven by NERSA, it's driven by government. Driven by Operation Vulindlela in the presidency, and sometimes the DMRE plays a reactive and obstructive role.
Is it true that nurses like six people?
No. Nurses is probably has several hundred employees.
Ah, okay. But either way, we need to get this right, and it's actually a major story. Do you think now there is enough dissatisfaction with government and enough public outcry that things might change?
Well, I think, the stage six load shedding does tend to focus the mind.
It does, doesn't
but
it?
But we had stage six load shedding in December 2019, and the president flew back from Cairo, where he was involved in the African Union meeting there, and he flew back to attend a media briefing to calm the public of South Africa who were facing stage six load shedding. Funnily enough, very little action came from that. The risk mitigation IPP program that was announced when the president came back has still not been ordered or procured. Only 150 megawatts out of the total of 2,000 megawatts has actually been procured. Now we have a very similar situation. Stage six again, the president is effectively being recalled from the UK. He was due to go back to the United States, but I think he has to show his face in South Africa and send a signal to the public that the matter is receiving the attention of government. I think, we seem to be very reactive in our approach as opposed to proactive. So the president is reacting to the stage six load shedding. But let's give credit where it's due. The load shedding has also galvanized the so-called Electricity Crisis Committee, the National Electricity Crisis Committee, and its various work streams who are working on implementing the president's plan, which was announced, a month or so ago.
Chris Yearland, Energy Analyst, Managing Director of EE Intelligence, talking to us about the electricity crisis.